Welcome back. You are listening to Nate the Hate on YouTube, iTunes, Spotify, and Google Podcasts. Be sure to like the video and subscribe to the channel if you have not already. And with that, I'd like to welcome in my co-host, who I have not welcomed in quite a while, Modern Vintage Gamer.
Hello, Nate. It's great to be here. Yeah, it's been a minute, but you know, we're back and we got some cool stuff to talk about today. How have you been? I know it's been a little while.
I have been well. It's been a very hectic, hot July, and I know you have been scorching that summer heat.
110 degree days, loving it over here.
Well, we have a very interesting topic today, a hot topic at that. But first, I have to give a dedication and a shout out to today's sponsor, I guess you could say, whom is Shamsa, who generously donated $100 to support the channel. And if you'd like to support our channel, we have a Streamlabs link in the description below. Donate any dollar amount. Ask a question. We will answer it at the end of the episode. Donate $100 or more, and we will dedicate the episode to you. And today's episode, once again, is dedicated to Shamsa. But today's topic is a hot one, as mentioned. A new report came out earlier today from VGC, citing sources that the Nintendo Switch successor is due to release in the second half of 2024. And elsewhere in the report, they go over additional details like the type of display that the product will be using, how it has a game card slot, that it retains a portable aspect or a hybrid model, as well as some backwards compatibility details and potentially some concerns around that. But we're going to start the conversation with the release timing, which, as mentioned, seems to be late 2024. And anyone who listens to our show will know that dating back to January of this year, I have been saying holiday 2024 is the window that I have been hearing. And this report seems to add validity to that claim.
Yeah, I think late 2024 was always going to be the move for this next generation of hardware that is being discussed right now. So no real surprises here for me, I guess, at this stage. You know, like, I think about, and we'll get into the dev kit discussion here as well, so I don't want to talk about it too much, but just kind of touch on it real quick. You know, when we start talking about development kits going out, there's usually a 12 to 18 month window of time when kits do go out before we see kind of retail hardware get announced or get launched. I should say not announced. We'll probably get an announcement, you know, sooner than that. So the timing kind of lines up for a late 2024 release. So I think, you know, we kind of made that determination, and you've been talking about this since January. So yeah, no real surprises here for me at this point, at least.
Yeah, this bit of information really didn't come as any surprise, especially to either of us. As you mentioned, we've been talking about that release window being within the realm of realistic possibility now for several months. And whenever asked about it, I continued to repeat late 2024. And it was informed speculation on my part, which means it's information I had been hearing, but wasn't 100% confident in the information just due to lack of sources to back it up. When you only have one or two sources giving you information, you'd like to get a few more before you can, you know, finish dotting your I's and crossing your T's, especially when it comes to hardware. And hardware has a great window of uncertainty when it comes to release timing. It really comes down to when partners are briefed and Nintendo's own internal scheduling. This can shift depending on certain factors, be it development of software, or even how the hardware itself is being developed and how it's been finalized, feedback from developers. There's a lot of external factors that go into really finding and settling down on an exact release window. And that's why a lot of these are just penciled in. They are erased and re-penciled in until they can firm things up. But with this report coming out, especially so close to Bit Summit, one has to believe that this is information that was going around an industry event. And this is one of the first industry events of this calendar year where developers, publishers, and media have been able to congregate and have in-person conversations. The prior one, I would say, was GDC earlier this year, but we do have two others coming up in the very immediate future with Gamescom and Tokyo Game Show So I believe that this is just the beginning of what could potentially be a deluge of information regarding the Switch successor. But I want to go back to GDC, because you were at GDC, and now I want to pick your brain on, was there any real industry chatter regarding a successor to the Nintendo Switch while at that event?
No, Nate, there was nothing. It was almost complete radio silence, to be honest with you. A little bit surprising, actually, because, you know, you always hear, you know, little bits and pieces and things, you know, when you go to these shows. But at GDC this year, I did kind of talk to developers and get a feel for, you know, are you working on anything, or is there anything, any chatter going on about, you know, next generation Switch? And I got nothing, honestly. I got zero information about it. So I just kind of assumed that Nintendo was kind of, you know, waiting to unveil or to start sending out dev kits to, you know, key partners at some point later on. And I wasn't really sure when that would have been, right? But you did mention BitSummit. It sounds like Andy Robertson, who wrote the article, that is, from VGC, did actually get some information about development kits at BitSummit. So we can only assume any time between GDC and BitSummit, development kits were sent out to key partners. And if we are to believe the Spanish report, or the Spanish news or YouTube article or whatever you want to call it, that came out a couple of weeks ago now, that they were claiming that development kits were in the hands of someone. I think the implication was Mercury Steam, but that was never actually confirmed. I think, you know, there's a bit of smoke here now, right? That we are pretty confident that there are dev kits out there in the wild. But yeah, your initial question about GDC, nothing. Complete silence. I didn't hear anything. And I just assumed that Nintendo was, you know, getting all their ducks in a row and ready to start getting development kits out at a later stage.
Yeah, since the initial report about a Spanish development team gaining access to a kit had surfaced, I've gone back and talked to a few contacts and sources, and it started to form a bit of a consensus where a few of them have come back to me and said, yes, either their studio has gained access or that colleagues of theirs have had access to a dev kit just in the last week or even, you know, a couple of weeks. So it seems as though Nintendo has begun their distribution of dev kits to more partners in a very recent time. How far back it could go, not too certain. Let's say, just for the sake of the conversation, let's say the middle of July.
Right.
And now let's use that window, as you alluded to earlier about the dev kit distribution itself in terms of timing. If developers are now getting dev kits in July, and right now we have that forecast window of a late 2024 release for this hardware, depending on the form of these dev kits, be it preliminary or more finalized, we can kind of give a rough guesstimate in terms of launch timing. And it would definitely suggest that we are at minimum 12 months from release.
Yeah. Again, you know, going back to my experience with development kits, is at least when you expect to see them and how much time you get with them before launch, it's usually that 12 to 18 month period. But, you know, someone will probably tell me that, well, you know, Xbox dev kits came very, very late. But things like that are kind of outliers, because there was obviously a part shortage and other things at play. But yeah, I think, you know, if you work backwards from, you know, late next year and subtract 12 months, it sounds about right to me that, you know, dev kits were kind of distributed recently. Mm-hmm. So it all kind of lines up, at least from what we're seeing.
And yeah, I've seen a few people kind of use the Xbox Series dev kit distribution, saying, well, it was a lot more restricted in terms of the window from when they were distributed to the actual release. But maybe one of the things that perhaps it was underreported is that Microsoft had relayed to partners, use your Xbox 1X
yep.
dev kit as stand-in, because this is a very powerful dev kit. It has a lot of the features that you need to use. And once we can get you the final dev kits of our series line, you can transition fairly easily.
Yeah, they make it very, very simple for you to do that. And having an Xbox One X dev kit, while obviously not the same performance, was satisfactory enough for at least to have developers start building their games and getting them ready. So when they did get next generation development kits, they could just continue on their work without being, you know, roadblocked for any significant amount of time. So, and look, will that be the same thing here with you know, next generation Switch hardware? I don't know that, but all I can really say is the timing lines up with what we're expecting, that dev kits should be out, well, are out, and we should be seeing hardware late next year.
Mm-hmm. And I went back through history to look at, if we just wanted to use second half of 2024 as a release target, I went back to look at some of Nintendo's home consoles release timing to see when they came to market. And it's kind of a broad range, and it really depends on the generation. Because if you go back to the Super NES, you actually will find that it released in summer in North America. And this trend continued with the N64, where it launched in June, depending on the region. And then you could look to the GameCube, which launched in September in Japan, came out in November in North America. And then right around the time of the Wii U, and even the Switch, Nintendo really tried to consolidate things, and they went for those worldwide launches where they could have launch across the globe be as tight and as close as possible. Because those aforementioned platforms, they were launching at all different times depending on the region, where you would have one platform launch in November for Japan, it would come out the summer in North America, and then 3 years later, it would come out in PAL and in Australian regions. So there is that possibility that this launches in the second half of 2024, and maybe it finds itself in that late September or early October window, where it technically would release in the holiday. But depending on how much stock Nintendo is able to accrue over the year, they could potentially position themselves to have a monster holiday in terms of sales of the hardware if they're able to produce millions of units in that lead up to that launch window.
Yeah, and that's kind of the $1 million, you know, question, right? Like, when is it going to launch, and how big are we talking about as far as the launch lineup is concerned? I do think that when, you know, if we're talking about late 2024, that's giving me late September, early October kind of timeframes for the launch of this hardware. But I guess I can't shake the feeling that this particular system, the launch of this system, is going to be about the games, as far as what games will be ready to launch with this system. And will it be a launch day of, let's say, a couple of, you know, two games maybe, or three games, and, you know, you get like NSO and some other things kind of thrown in? Or do you get, you know, maybe one game, you know, one major first party game, and there's kind of a launch window of, well, we'll say 3, 4, 5 months where additional games start to appear that get announced as well. That's the real difficult part. But I feel like this launch is, I don't know, like, and I don't know anything about, you know, launching a game console, so let's be clear on that. But I feel like this particular one is based around the development of games, and it has more emphasis on the games rather than the, you know, Nintendo putting, you know, drawing a line in the sand and saying, well, we're going to launch this hardware regardless, you know, in 2024, regardless of if we have games or not. I don't think that's going to be a thing for them in this situation. I think I'm not saying, you know, they're moving the launch around, but I think the hope is, you know, late next year and there will be games ready to go. But, you know, I would also not be surprised, Nate, if they even, And you may think I'm crazy, but they may even push it out to early 2025, right? Depending on where these launch games are at. So I think the launch games themselves are very, very important, for a really, really strong launch of this next generation hardware.
Yeah, I think if it slides to early 2025, that's kind of a disaster scenario.
It is.
And like everything would have to go wrong, be it software development or a production line issue. Because the VGC report does note that they're looking to do second half to ensure that it has ample stock available day one to avoid the kind of shortages that we saw with the PlayStation 5 and Xbox Series X and S. And to your point, we have seen launches be moved around due to software not being ready.
Yeah.
That's kind of a common thing for the industry. If you don't have games to launch with your system, you will delay. The system's ready. It's just we have to get games ready. And some people made that argument when the Xbox and PlayStation 5 launched back in 2020, that they should have delayed these systems 6 months, if not a year, so that they had more software available for the platforms that took advantage of their unique features. And that's still kind of a talking point you see in some circles even today regarding those two platforms. But Nintendo has always brought software to their launch day for any hardware, even if it's just one revolutionary game. We can go back to the N64. In retrospect, all they really had was Mario 64, but it changed the industry.
Yeah.
That's all they needed. And then you can fast forward to the GameCube. At the time, wasn't necessarily the strongest launch. You had Luigi's Mansion. You had Pikmin. Smash Brothers Melee came out in December, so just a few weeks after the North American launch. You also had Wave Race, Blue Storm.
Mm-hmm.
And it was a quality launch. You had a lot of games on display.
There was a lot of games on the GameCube that launched, I remember.
But none of those games at the time were really these big, major first-party releases. Luigi's Mansion wasn't the Mario game people hoped to get. Pikmin was that odd new IP that no one was really sure what it was at the time. Smash Brothers wasn't at the level that it is now revered at.
Right.
It took a while for Melee to really gain that footing of becoming that amazing party fighter, however you want to, classify it.
What do they launch? What will launch with this new hardware then? Because we know that Zelda, they've already played that card, right? And I'm not talking about enhanced versions of current games, which, by the way, they could absolutely launch with, and that would be totally fine. But what do you think the system will launch with as far as games? Is it a 3D Mario title?
Yes.
Is it Mario Kart?
No. 3D Mario.
Do you think the new system will have a 3D Mario game, and when do we get Mario Kart 9? Because they must be thinking about that. Would that be part of the launch window? We'll say the first 6 months of the new hardware?
Yeah, I would estimate that's within that first 6 months, definitely within the opening year, because Nintendo had to look at what the Switch had done, where you launched with a Zelda game, a must-have game. So now you replace that with a 3D Mario. That's going to get people excited, especially when you introduce new gameplay concepts. If it's taking advantage of any new features that the hardware offers, that's enticing. But then you have to look at what the Switch did following launch, where you had a new IP with ARMS. You had Mario Kart 8 Deluxe. You had Splatoon 2. You had these iconic multiplayer franchises releasing all within those first 6 months. And then you capped off the year with a 3D Mario game, with Mario Odyssey.
Mm-hmm.
So now if you can come in with a new Mario Kart, something that fans have been thirsty and hungry for this entire generation, if we're honest, that's going to move units. It's going to give the platform a lot of momentum, and you're going to launch with volcanic momentum. And now if you can use all of that energy and put it into the sales of a new Mario Kart, this new hardware is going to sell every unit it's producing, possibly for the first 12 to 18 months, depending on the lineup that Nintendo has been working on for it. But a 3D Mario would be the premier way to launch this platform.
Yeah, I agree. I mean, I think that's definitely the move. If you want to if you want to get people invested in a new ecosystem, then you got to bring out your big guns. And like I said, Zelda, they've already played that card. So a 3D Mario game is definitely the move, and it would definitely be that game that would get people excited about new hardware. And then, yeah, if you throw Mario Kart 9 into the mix, then it's pretty much you're off to the races at that point. And, you know, you've already sold a few million, you know, very, very quickly.
Mm-hmm. I mean, that's where Nintendo can come in and kind of just solidify their spot in this current generation, next generation, however you want to measure their competitor going into it. Because I know everyone will differ of who's competing right now. Is the Switch competing with the PS4? Is the Switch competing with the PS5? It doesn't matter.
Yep.
But Nintendo has to come out strong. They really can't struggle when it comes to the successor of the Switch. And unfortunately, if you want to look to history, Nintendo always seems to stumble following great success. The Wii, huge success, followed by the Wii U.
Mm-hmm.
You could even, and I hate to say that it was a disappointment. It's only a disappointment when using a direct comparison, but you had the DS, the only platform to rival the PlayStation 2 in terms of user base, was followed by the 3DS. By no means a failure, but it was only did about what, 50?
Yeah.
Maybe 60% of the sales as the predecessor. And a lot of that was a bit due to Nintendo arrogance. They charged way too much for the 3DS at launch. They had to apologize. They dropped the price significantly. They gave early adopters some free GBA games. And
oh, yeah.
They overestimated the appeal of 3D.
Right.
So when it comes time for the successor, Nintendo needs to read the market. They need to understand what they're bringing with this platform. And it's going to be a curious time. And the launch is really going to set the tone. A 3D Mario game is what they need. That's, you know, pretty much their premier franchise alongside Zelda. And I know some people are saying, well, we haven't seen Metroid Prime 4 yet. What if Metroid Prime 4 could also be a launch game? As much as I enjoy the Metroid Prime games, it simply does not have that lure and luster that a 3D Mario would have. It would be a complimentary game that, hey, I bought a new Switch, I'll pick up Metroid Prime 4 because it's there. Not because you're not buying the hardware to buy Metroid Prime 4. You're buying Metroid Prime 4 because you bought the hardware.
Exactly. I agree with you on Metroid Prime 4. I mean, it was announced for the Switch, and it will damn well be released on the Switch. But I don't think we're going to see it on... I mean, will we see it in some capacity on new hardware? I mean, probably at some point, but I wouldn't bet the house on Metroid Prime 4 being a Switch 2 or next-gen Switch launch title.
I mean, if it is, it'd definitely be a curious move.
Yes.
And I mean, hey, it could happen. It all comes down to, I guess, how much Nintendo views it as a priority and if they see benefit in having it as a secondary launch
title. It's one thing to have, you know, Twilight Princess be a cross-generational game or Breath of the Wild, because those, you know, that series is going to just sell very, very well. But fragmenting your Metroid Prime base between the Switch and next generation is, I'm not sure about that. I don't think that's really what they're trying to do with Metroid.
Mm-hmm.
That's now, just my opinion, though.
Yeah. Now, we have had some reports out of Taiwan from some economic websites that kind of hit in the last couple of weeks, where they were reporting and suggesting that the Switch successor would release in the early portion of 2024. And there was a lot of discussion around the language of the reports, whether or not it was just conjecture by the editor and they were connecting dots to other things, or if they truly had a source in the supply line to indicate that a launch would be in the early portion of 2024. And on this, I'll give a very brief comment that some of the whispers I have heard, don't take this as confirmation, but the whispers I have heard is that the supply line regarding the Switch successor will begin to ramp up in that early portion of 2024, Q1 of the calendar year. So between January and March. And if that is how things play out, it would further endorse the idea of the second half of 2024 release, especially when you factor in the idea of the VGC report saying Nintendo wants to have ample and sufficient stock to avoid shortages, which would suggest they want production lines to begin testing and such in early 2024 and then hit max capacity in the late spring, where you can produce 500,000, 750,000, or 1 million units a month. And if you want to release in the holiday, you know, you're releasing with more than just 2 or 3 million units. You're likely targeting something significantly higher than that. But that's, that part's pure speculation as to what Nintendo could potentially launch the unit at.
Right.
But it is a curious thing of if that is, if what the articles meant by a next gen launch in early 2024, they are actually referencing in terms of production lines beginning, I would agree with that portion.
Yeah, I didn't really pay too much attention to that particular article that came out last week for different reasons, but I guess what I did take away from it was, you know, if there is information out there that manufacturing is kind of underway and things are happening, then again, it just gives more credence to, like you said, a late 2024 kind of release.
I want to pivot to their mention of the display in the VGC article.
Here we go.
So they report that they have been told that Nintendo is going to launch the successor with an LCD screen, which would be similar to what we got with the original Switch.
Yep.
And reasons for this is that Nintendo is looking to keep cost down.
We have to remember that this is a new generation of hardware. A lot of people are thinking more along the lines of Switch Pro, you know, and if you're thinking of Switch Pro, right, then why would they go back to an LCD screen? Because isn't the professional model of the Switch supposed to be the top of the range premium Mac Daddy edition that has an 8-inch LCD, an 8-inch OLED display and all bells and whistles? But we're talking about a new generation, a complete, you know, line in the sand, new generation of hardware. So in my opinion, they start from a base model all over again. And this is going to be their launch model of the new hardware, which is an LCD display. Now, will they offer a OLED edition of the hardware in a couple of years? Probably. And I think, you know, that was successful for them, so they would do that again. But I think it's important for Nintendo to, number one, not increase costs. They've already kind of mapped this out. And kind of start with that base again. You're starting with that base launch model that you know is going to get iterated upon and improved and enhanced in key areas. So I think this is just the start of a new generation, and we will see an OLED display, you know, at some point during that generation.
So yeah, I'm in agreement with you that it's going to launch with an LCD screen.
Yep.
I have heard, and again, do not take this as confirmation, this is industry whispers. This, consider it like industry, I don't want to say gossip, it's better than industry gossip. Take it as informed speculation. I have been told that it's going to launch with an 8-inch LCD screen. Mm-hmm. And the reason is, as mentioned in the VGC article, to assist in keeping costs down. And that's important to Nintendo because they're going to launch this potentially at a high price. Could be a platform that comes in as just as a speculation point. Let's say $399. Let's say even $449. It's going to be important for Nintendo to recoup cost on manufacturing this hardware as quick as possible.
Yep.
And LCD is cheap. And if they can get that cost down quicker from a business standpoint, that's what you want to do. And it will also allow them to, you know, in the future, as you mentioned, we can release a more premium revision 3-4 years down the line with an OLED screen, or however they really want to approach it. And Nintendo has done this with virtually every single handheld that they've brought to market. Go back to the Game Boy Advance, launched with that, you know, standard version.
Yeah.
And then we got the introduction of the SP.
Right.
We had the DS Fat, got better screens with the DS Lite.
Mm-hmm. And the DSi had like even better screens.
Right. And then you go from the 3DS, we got better screens and better 3D with the new 3DS. And then right now with the Switch, went from LCD to OLED. And I mean, LCD, yes, you're not going to get as pure of blacks. You're going to get crushed blacks and other colors. But an LCD screen, depending on the pixel density, and you know, if you're coming in at an 8-inch screen size, this can still be quality. It's not like it's going to look abysmal.
Yeah.
And keep in mind, an 8-inch LCD screen would match what Sony is putting in their Project Q, which in and of itself is an abomination in terms of design. But look at the Steam Deck. The Steam Deck is also an LCD screen.
Mm-hmm.
So this seems to be the screen that these manufacturers are going to, be it for a cost reason, or if they just like the way it displays and it's more than satisfactory for their testing. And again, me hearing about an 8-inch LCD screen is just informed speculation. Do not take it as confirmation. I want to stress that. That is just what I'm hearing at the moment.
Yeah.
This could be preliminary details where it's not yet finalized. Maybe right. The deals haven't been made with the manufacturers and the suppliers. So just take it as I'm saying it, informed speculation.
Here's the other thing. And I want to say that as well. Like I don't know anything about this stuff, but here's one other aspect of this report that is a little unclear. And that is, was these determinations made on the development kits that have already gone out, that the dev kit has an LCD display? We don't really know, do we? But if that is the case, and I'm hoping it's not, but let's say it is. Let's say, you know, whoever let Andy know about the dev kits being out there kind of gave some information about what's on the dev kit, and there's an LCD display. That's still not 100%. A lock that the retail would have an LCD display as well, especially we'll get into the dev kit discussion, but especially considering it's probably a prototype one development kit that's already gone out, that's in a state of being updated, right? So it's very, very hard to really put your finger on this one, what it's going to launch with. I think if you kind of compare someone that has an OLED switch and then you buy a next generation piece of hardware, yeah, it's not going to look as good. But I still think that, personally, I think that LCD is going to be what the new system does launch with. Yeah, for cost-cutting measures, as mentioned, you know, first and foremost, and probably because, you know, they have to start again. This is a new generation. So they're going to start with what they know. And once they've got a foothold on next generation and you know they're turning over, you know, a healthy profit, then they'll look at, you know, bringing us a premium model of that piece of hardware. Uh-huh. with an OLED display.
Yeah, and as the VGC report mentions, that it could launch with the LCD screen instead of the more premium OLED in order to bring costs down, especially considering the increased storage needed for higher fidelity games. Now, this is something I again have heard some chatter about. And once again, take it as informed speculation, not confirmation, that Nintendo is looking to equip the Switch successor with a fairly significant amount of internal flash memory. Mm-hmm. Now, we're not talking 1 terabyte range. It's going to be a lot less than that. The ceiling figure that I had heard was 512.
Okay.
Now, that doesn't necessarily mean it's going to come with 512. It could come in with less, but it seems as though Nintendo is aware they have to give you more than 32 or 64 gigabytes of flash memory to store your digital games. And 512, considering that game size will increase, we could potentially be seeing games come in at 50 gigabytes or at least 32 gigabytes and larger. They understand that, yes, we have to give you significant space to store these games. Otherwise, you're running into that refrigerator situation that you had on the Wii, the Wii U, and I guess you could make the same case on the Switch, but given the Switch had an easy means of expandable storage via SD card, it never really became too pressing of an issue, especially when a lot of the Switch games from Nintendo themselves, I'll use as a reference, were reasonable in size. I believe Tears of the Kingdom is the biggest game, I believe. Mm-hmm. No, it might be Smash Brothers, but they're still significantly less than, you know, a 32 gigabyte release like you saw with LA Noire,
right?
That needed, you know, downloads and those other factors. So if these figures are accurate, again, I cannot confirm these. Nintendo is looking to invest at least in that realm because they view that as a priority. So if that comes at the cost of an OLED screen and they had to choose LCD to prioritize flash memory, I endorse that move. I think that is a correct maneuver by Nintendo.
I think that you're totally right about this one. They have to give in an area where having bigger storage is something that is absolutely required. I mean, you can't get away with 64 gigabytes of flash next generation. It's just not an option. We're talking about games that will have higher, you know, resolutions. We're talking about games that will have increased resolution textures, increased assets sizes, increased polygon counts. So everything is going to grow in terms of size. Now, it's not going to be, you know, PS5 levels of sizes or anything like that, but you're right. I think, you know, anything from a 30 to 60 gigabyte game is probably going to become more of a standard in the next generation. So they have to have the flash storage to accommodate for that, right? So I think, yeah, I mean, you add these improvements or you add these, you know, increases in key areas, but you have to, you know, in order to keep your cost down, you can't just, you know, throw everything at this thing because you could easily blow out to a $600 system. And I think at that point, you've really started to lose people. So yeah, I totally agree with you on what you're saying about the, you know, the flash storage. It's going to be bigger. I mean, 256, 512 gig, who knows what they're going to give us, but it will definitely be bigger. And I think, you know, that it's the right thing to do.
I don't have the Steam Deck specs in front of me, but do you recall what they launched at in terms of options?
So there was three, right? And I have, let me pull up the specs here real quick. I have the 512 gig model, so it has the built-in 512 gig SSD, but that was the most expensive one, right? So the 399 model was the base model, and that had 16 gigabytes of RAM, and it had 64 gigabytes of flash built-in, right? So that was the 399 model, and then the next model up was the 256 gigabyte SSD. And then the next model up was the 512. So we're talking about the 399 model. You're getting 64 gigabytes and 16 gig of RAM, as well as a 7-inch display, which is LCD, IPS LCD display.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, so it's, can't really do a one-to-one comparison on those. But, I mean, it shows you that, you know, Valve did prioritize giving you meaningful storage, and they also do have the expandable storage solutions.
Yep,
the on the Steam Deck.
SD card. So, yep,
and I mean, one game, as we mentioned, the increase of file size. This will be the first generation that Nintendo will have a Call of Duty on it.
That's dating right.
Back to the Wii U, and we have seen how Call of Duty file size have ballooned during the PS4 and PS5 generation.
Oh yeah,
so. If you want to have parity with the upcoming Call of Duty games, which will have Warzone, the multiplayer campaign, that's easily going to come in at 100 gigabytes. Mm-hmm. So if you're Nintendo, you recognize you need to have sufficient storage if you want Call of Duty on your platform.
I agree. And, you know, Nintendo's not always been the best at offering a lot of storage, but they've always been good at offering ways to expand that storage, and usually pretty cheap, right? So, you know, the Wii didn't have much internal, and the Wii U had what? It had the 8 gig option, and was it 8 gig? And then there was a 32 gig option for the Wii U. But they'd always allow you to add, you know, a USB device or SD card storage. So I wouldn't expect anything different here, other than we'll get a larger flash, internal flash storage, to kind of accommodate these bigger games. Like you said, Call of Duty is something that, you know, is a thing, I guess, that's going to come out. So yeah, you know, they need to support these larger games, and I think that's definitely something they're doing.
Now, another note in the article is that they made a mention that the game is continuing to use game cards, which I don't think is a shock to anybody considering the format. There's really no reasonable way to go to a disc format unless you're going with a UMD type solution or a mini disc. But considering that never really worked all that well for the PSP, it'd be exceptionally odd for Nintendo to go that route. So yes, Nintendo is going to continue to use the game card format. No surprise to anybody there. But I do believe Nintendo will change the tech of the game card. And there has been reports out of some of the manufacturers that partner with Nintendo, which I believe the company is Macronics, and they use a 2D NAND for the current game cards. And there's been reports that they have been developing and are ready to deploy a 3D NAND. And I wouldn't be surprised if Nintendo is going to employ that in the next generation game card.
I would almost bet the house on the card format is going to change, or it already has changed. Not only for the limitations and issues that Nintendo had with this generation, I think the maximum size, I believe, was 64 gigabytes. At least that was, you know, the biggest card size.
Yeah, I think that was the biggest card size in concept, but it never came to market.
But I also think that they've revised this card format. They've enhanced it. They've iterated on it. They've improved it to not only allow for, again, larger size cards that don't cost, you know, as much money as a 64 gigabyte card does, but more importantly, and this is an area where people seem to forget, when the Switch came out, it was hacked very, very quickly. I think it was in the first month of its launch, or maybe not the first month, but it was hacked very, very quickly. And although Nintendo did mostly, you know, fix the glitch, if you want to say, there was still, I think, about 13 to 15 million Switches out there that are exploitable. And one of the side effects of having an exploited Switch, or one of the good things, depending on, you know, who you are, is that you can easily dump any game off a Switch card easily. So do you think Nintendo is, you know, considering having the same game card slot in a new piece of hardware? I would be very surprised if they did that, because what you want to do when you get new hardware out is you want to ensure that all your security, you know, weak points have been eliminated. And Nintendo in the past has always been, well, they've gotten into a lot of trouble about having legacy, you know, ports and things on hardware. We've seen it happen so many times when the DS had the GBA slot. The first way that the DS was hacked was via the GBA slot. Same thing happened with the 3DS. Same thing happened with the Nintendo Wii. Same thing happened with the Wii U. It's something that Nintendo, in my opinion, has changed. And I think they've changed it not only for technical reasons, to, you know, get faster performance and larger performance at hopefully a cheaper cost, which is, I think, is something that's very important to them, but also for security reasons, to ensure that you know, any type of exploit is completely off the table.
Yeah, I mean, you definitely don't want to have a repeat of that entire situation if you're Nintendo going into this. And this brings us into one of the final topics from this report, one of your personal favorites. In the VGC report, the topic of backwards compatibility does come up, and they make note that it remains unclear and that they themselves have not been able to confirm whether or not the Switch successor will or will not have backwards compatibility. Now, you talked about backwards compatibility fairly significantly not all that long ago about some of the technical hurdles that pose an obstacle for Nintendo and NVIDIA. So we're not going to go into that.
Right. We don't need to revisit that. If people want to learn more about that, check out my video. It's called Nintendo Has a Backward Compatibility Problem on my channel.
Very succinct and direct. But what I do want to bring up is that in the article, they kind of mention some of the reasons why backwards compatibility may be omitted. And it's definitely a curious mention. And let me bring up the quote really quick. So in the article, it mentions how it remains clear and that some third-party publishers have expressed concern that legacy support for Switch games could negatively affect sales of next-generation titles. And this reasoning definitely won't resonate with the consumer, because the consumer is going to look at it and say, what does that mean? And why is it going to negatively affect you? Because all I want to do is be able to play Breath of the Wild and my digital library that I have built and accrued over the generation on brand new hardware. And from a business standpoint, they seem to be more talking about that concern that you're not going to buy a Switch 2 release because you're too busy playing your older games or potentially playing the Switch version of the same game. And let's just use it as an example, because it had been in headlines a little bit. Mario Rabbids Sparks of Hope. You're playing it on your current Switch. You're happy with it. The visuals are more than sufficient for you. You're happy with performance. Now you're Ubisoft. You come in with Mario and Rabbids Sparks of Hope Deluxe. Higher resolution, improved frame rate, all the DLC. Well, now as the consumer, you're saying, well, I have all that content. I'm happy with the way it performs on my current Switch or even the Switch 2 via backwards compatibility.
Right.
Ubisoft wanted to sell it to you a second time and you're not biting. I think that's what the statement is trying to say.
Yeah, I think so. And look, this is going to be, I think, Furukawa's biggest test as Nintendo president, because this transition to next generation has to be done meticulously. Otherwise, you're going to start losing people. But to the point of backward compatibility, from a business aspect, we're not talking technical. From a business aspect, I think, you know, what it's trying to say is that, you know, this new piece of hardware really needs to have its own kind of unique features and selling points that, even though it is a part of the hybrid kind of, you know, ecosystem that Nintendo is known for, it's also its own thing, which has its own games, its own exclusives, its own first party, launch titles and everything. And it's not, and this is very, you know, to be very clear, it's not a Switch Pro. You know, like a lot of the times I hear people say, well, I just want a more powerful Switch and I want it to play my Switch games. I mean, by definition, aren't you kind of asking for a Switch Pro at that point? You're not really asking for anything else, because you're just kind of saying, well, I want to continue where things are with the current ecosystem, and I just want to play all my games. But I think if you are launching, you know, new hardware, then you have to have, you know, your own kind of unique selling points as well. So I think that's what I'm reading from that piece there. I don't know. What do you think, though?
And it's really hard to say. I mean, based on your video with the technical hurdles, you know, you laid out a good blueprint of why backwards compatibility couldn't be there. Now, there are many reasons backwards compatibility should be there.
Oh, yeah. Because
from a standpoint of the ecosystem, you want consumers to be on your side. You want that goodwill. And backwards compatibility, especially digital backwards compatibility, is an industry standard now. It's just something that you expect.
Mm-hmm.
The whole reason you are investing in a digital library is with the understanding and the condition that you can bring it with you on a new device. That's the appeal. It's the convenience of going digital. So there's plenty of reasons Nintendo should implement backwards compatibility, and I hope they do. If they do not have backwards compatibility, I think it is a significant blunder on their part. And if it happens, I will gladly, you know, I will gladly critique them harshly.
Right.
Because they got a pass with this generation where people could understand you changed format, you changed everything going from Wii U to Switch. So you got a pass on that. Going from Wii to Wii U, you had backwards compatibility where you could transfer your Wii games and your digital Wii games to your Wii U and activate them in backwards compatibility mode. It wasn't the smoothest process, but that was the advent of digital for these console manufacturers. They didn't understand the need of an account system or really, they weren't thinking of the future. They were just looking at it in the present saying, we can do this. And then they thought about the future later and said, oh, shit, we should have thought this through. Microsoft has done great things with backwards compatibility, both physical and digital. Sony made their blunder with the PS3 by making an architecture that is just very difficult to emulate and recreate on other hardware. So they got that slight pass going from PS3 to PS4.
Yeah.
But to their credit, if you bought any digital PS1 games on your account and they are now part of the PlayStation Classic lineup, it recognizes your purchase and grants you access to the game. So that's something that Sony should be applauded for doing right. This is Nintendo's test to show that they do view digital as an important thing to their ecosystem and will do right by the consumer.
Yeah, and I agree with you. And look, I want to be clear as well. Like, I know I made a video critical of backward compatibility, and I said there's clear technical reasons why it's going to be difficult for Nintendo to provide it. They can definitely solve for it. You know, it's not something that is not an option for them. And look, the new platform is, I think, Nintendo's biggest concern. And the thing they're most thinking of is that they need people to be invested in the new platform. They need it to be something that people really, really care about, just like the Nintendo Switch. So, you know, being devil's advocate and saying, well, here's a, like, the number one reason why backward compatibility will happen on the Switch is simply because that the install base is massive. And if you kind of throw that Switch product line away and you just kind of, you know, sever the cord or, you know, draw the line in the sand, and that could have, you know, ramifications to the sales of new hardware. And I think a lot of people are very nervous about, you know, what's going to happen with backward compatibility. And honestly, I think Nintendo, I've always said that I think they will solve for it in some way, but I'm not really sure what that would look like at this time. But they definitely are aware of this, and I think that, you know, they're going to offer something, I believe, to their customers, you know, to make their digital library available on next generation. But look, it's a real tough one because I'm seeing, you know, there's more and more of these articles that are coming up, and I think a lot of them are just kind of opinion pieces and speculation, but we're starting to see, you know, some holes being poked now in the backward compatibility, you know, thing that's happening. But I think Nintendo is, I mean, it's probably not number one on their list for the rollout of new hardware, but it's definitely something that they are very much aware of. And I'd like to think that they have solved for this. And look, maybe, look, we talked about cost cutting earlier. Maybe they were able to squeeze in the Tegra X1, you know, into the new hardware, and that's what they're going to do. I mean, they've done that before, so we'll just have to wait and see.
I do feel as though, given the reports that came out today and the discussion about backwards compatibility's uncertainty, it feels as though perhaps if the VGC source was from development partners who 100% should have been briefed, if backwards compatibility is there so that they could plan for patches and just a general planning of upcoming releases so they know, hey, we can take advantage of these features. If it's not mentioned to these partners yet, it could be an ongoing thing that Nintendo is still figuring out how they're going to approach backwards compatibility on the platform.
Yes.
And technically, you know, in terms of functionality, the dev kit itself doesn't need to have backwards compatibility support, but that, Nintendo should at least brief them if the feature is going to be allowed.
Exactly. And I think that's a real important thing to mention. A development kit won't tell you if backward compatibility is available, especially a, and I'm just going to say this, a prototype development kit, because I can only assume that whatever is out right now to developers, it's prototype hardware. It's not final. So a lot of the times these early development kits will have functionality that is not available or features that are missing. So I think really the main focus on these prototype dev kits is for, you know, their partners to make, you know, next-gen games and have them ready. So the focus on backward compatibility is really not something that is of, I want to say interest at this time, but it's not really, you know, on the roadmap right now. And I think you're right. I think Nintendo is holding that information back for later. And I think, honestly, we'll probably hear about it. It'll probably leak out, you know, at some point, I'm sure, when there's more kind of smoke around, you know, dev kits, you know, and things as more time passes. Because I think that this particular report that came out is, I hate to say it because I know I kind of troll on Twitter about Switch 2 every single day. There's something new that's come out or some new article has come out from nowhere. But I feel like we're going to start getting not like constant information, but we're going to start getting drip fed more and more information about what we're hearing about next generation. So I do think at some point before launch of hardware, before announcement of hardware, I should say, that we'll probably get a better idea about what the backward compatibility layer is going to look like. But between now and then, I think we can only speculate. And the information that was presented in the report by Andy, I think really is, yeah, it's really just hard to really determine whether it's going to be in there or not based on the information that he was given at the time.
Yeah, there's really nothing that you can take away from that beyond publishers have expressed some doubts. And again, if developers haven't been briefed on it being there, that's kind of a bad move on Nintendo's half, because you should inform the developers if the functionality is there so you can plan patches, and if you want to include any enhancements to the game when they are patched, when played on the successor.
Right.
So that type of information being omitted at this stage, again, depending on the state of the dev kits themselves, I wouldn't say it's neglect, but it is something that Nintendo will have to address in a reasonable amount of time. If Nintendo is still working on backwards compatibility, and this is something that they will update on the dev kits in a firmware in the coming months, then that's something that they will address. And there's still ample time for Nintendo to do right and do right by partners and have the feature be full fleshed out when the time comes to launch the product. But the final thing I want to touch on is announcement timing. When do you think Nintendo will officially announce the Switch successor?
This is a real hard question. I don't really know. I mean, if we're saying they're going to launch in September, I mean, wasn't it like a year before the Switch where they announced the NX? Is that right?
Yeah, but it was kind of a case of they announced the NX due to the DNA partnership, and they wanted to.
That's right.
They wanted to make sure our investors understood that they weren't moving away from the home console industry.
Yeah.
So that's the only reason that NX was announced when it was. The actual Switch announcement itself was given in October, that launched in March.
I mean, part of me feels like I think initially I kind of felt like we would hear something about it this year. But I'm not even sure if we will, Nate. Like, I feel like this year is all about Mario Wonder and, you know, the games that they've announced that are coming out this year. But I also feel like it's really important for Nintendo to prepare people for new hardware and get them ready for it. Get them mentally prepared. Get them ready for, hey, something is happening next year and we want you guys to jump on, you know, so we're going to be very clear and we're going to be very transparent about, you know, when we do that. Oh man, I don't know. Honestly, like part of me feels like it could be towards the end of this year. I mean, they could pull a Game Awards and announce it. They're probably not going to do that. They wouldn't announce it at the Game Awards like the Xbox Series X.
No, I mean, but Nintendo doesn't do anything at the Game Awards beyond commercials. So
it's probably going to be early next year, Nate. I'm thinking early next year. I want to say February.
Okay. See, my thought process right now is dependent on the launch timing. So let's say at the earliest for the second half, they launch in September. They would announce in April. The current fiscal year will conclude. And they will announce it once the new fiscal year begins on April 1st. So anytime, be it their Q1 or their Q2, again, depending on when it launches, I feel as though that is when Nintendo will announce this new hardware. If it launches in, you know, their Q3, which would be the holiday window, makes a lot of sense. You have more than about 6 months of marketing.
Yeah.
It fits. Now, if they try to come a little earlier, they try to come in that September, which would be their Q2, maybe they announce it before this fiscal year concludes. But I feel as though Nintendo will want to get those hardware sales that they've already put out there. They want to sell, was it 15 or 16 million Switches?
Yep.
They're going to want to achieve that goal first. Then they'll officially announce their intentions of bringing a successor to market.
Right.
So your February prediction, it could have merit to it. I wouldn't completely discount it, but I feel as though Nintendo will want to wait for the fiscal year to conclude before they talk about new business.
Yeah, I mean, it makes sense.
But, I mean, there's a lot of things you can also factor in here. You could also view it as once dev kits begin even more distribution and get to more partners, Nintendo will be aware that leaks can happen. And do they want to get ahead of that, or are they going to wait until production lines begin manufacturing the systems? So let's say that is early next year. They could potentially announce it once these things really hit mass production. Because when you look at when the Switch Lite was announced, it was right around the time they went into mass production. It was also around the time Nintendo began to communicate with some development partners that we do have this other dev kit available. And they kind of repeated that with the A dev kit with the OLED. They announced OLED right around the time it was hitting mass manufacturing and when this new dev kit was becoming available to partners. So it's really, they can announce it anytime between, I guess you could make the argument for now, given that dev kit distribution is underway and, you know, the end of March into early of next year. It all comes down to when Nintendo feels as though it will have maximum impact in terms of timing to announce a successor. And I just favor the idea of the fiscal year concluding so they don't muddy up any waters. They get the maximum amount of sales they can out of the current Switch, but maybe they surprise us and they go and they announce it at a, you know, like a September direct, or they announce it in October in its own type of presentation simply because a lot of development partners have access to a dev kit. It's hard to say.
And yeah, it really is. I mean, I was thinking about September Direct this year. Maybe they could announce it. I mean, they could tease something maybe, but I'm not sure if they would announce it that soon, but we're also kind of under the assumption that it's going to release a year from September. You know, there's potential that it could come a little earlier, a little later. But, you know, your idea about don't muddy the waters, get the fiscal out of the way, and then kind of ramp up does make a lot of sense too.
I mean, they could also wait until that pivotal point where development partners are finishing up their games for that launch window.
Yeah.
Because that's always a couple of months ahead of launch. I believe quite a few PS5 games were being requested by Sony of finish up your dev cycle by September. We're launching in November, and we need to know you have gone through certification, you are mastered, you've gone gold, because you're a day one launch game, and we need to know with no shred of uncertainty that you're there day one. And console manufacturers do request that a publisher and a development studio can have their games ready 2-3 months ahead of launch, because they're not going to take a gamble and say, oh, we have a backlog in certification, you took too long.
Yep, absolutely.
So they could even wait until, well, maybe not until that moment happens, because we're talking only a few months from launch, but things are going to pick up in terms of Switch successor talk, especially with Gamescom and Tokyo Game Show right around the corner. Mm-hmm. Expect more information being shared from, I guess, unofficial sources, such as, you know, media outlets talking to game development partners, and maybe official sources via Nintendo. We hear something from them in the, I guess you could say, near future. If we want to say near, includes the next 6 months.
It's exciting times. Like, it feels like we've finally crossed the line here, and things are going to start, you know, ramping up as far as information that we start hearing. So I'm looking forward to the remainder of this year and into next year. I think it's going to be exciting.
Yes, there'll be much to talk about. And with that, we go to our Streamlabs questions for the week. Once again, you can donate any dollar amount, ask a question, we will answer it at the end of the episode. We have a Streamlabs link in the description below. Donate $100 or more, and we will dedicate the episode to you. And today's episode was dedicated to Shamsa. And our first question comes from Mr. Studmuffin, who donated $1.69 and writes, shout out to the guy who does the Spawncast AI parodies. I was shocked to be featured as one of the Streamlab questions for the Nate the Hate AI podcast. A true honor.
I actually haven't heard the Nate the Hate AI podcast. I'll have to listen to that. But
do you though?
I will say that my AI voice is terrible.
So, well, that's because you're American.
Well, it doesn't really know what I am. You know, it's like it's half Australian, half American, and it's not good.
They tried. That's the important thing. They tried. And the second Streamlabs question is a follow-up from Mr. Studmuffin, who donated $1.69. What is your favorite type of muffin? As always, keep up the great work, Nate and MVG.
Favorite type of muffin? I don't know, like raisin muffin or
raisin
blueberry muffin.
Okay.
I'm not really big on muffins.
See, I like a cornbread muffin.
Oh, they're pretty good. Like from, I mean, you don't mean from like Cracker Barrel, do you?
No. No.
Cornbread muffins are good.
Yeah, you take some cornbread muffin. I just put a little bit of margarine on it. And if I, you know, have a lot of time available, put it in the toaster oven. Give it a little bit of coating. Nothing like a good piece of cornbread. Then we have a $3 donation from Eat the Hype. I almost cried seeing Clock Tower today. I honestly thought we might never see this incredible franchise again. Now that we have, is there any hope we will see Clock Tower 2, PlayStation 1, grace the LRG Carbon Engine one day? Thank you so much, MVG.
Well, unfortunately, I can't really talk about stuff like that, but I will say that it is very exciting that Clock Tower is coming back. And if there is a way to bring more games, we will definitely look at doing that. But very exciting that Clock Tower is coming back right now.
Indeed. We then had a $10 donation from Fangs the Wolf. No question. I just want to thank MVG for the Jurassic Park Classic Games Collection and bringing back Gex. Thank you, MVG.
Thank you. Thank you. Appreciate it.
Then had a $3.36 donation from Mechatech44. Hi, Nate and MVG. Hope you are doing well. I have a question. Will the original Shantae game, Game Boy Color, running on the Carbon engine, will be released on Steam, since all the other Shantae games are on Steam except this one? Thank you very much.
Unfortunately, I can't answer that question. That's something that you would have to ask WayForward, as they own the game, of course. But I will say this, if you bug WayForward enough, maybe they'll respond. So I would ask WayForward via proper channels, just, you know, get on Twitter and ask them about it and see what they say.
Then had a dollar donation from Jackie G. No question. We had a dollar donation from Liam Werner. Do you think the Mario and Rabbids series has a future? The last one underperformed Ubisoft's expectations, but still did around 3 million, plus any DLC sales, which is actually not bad at all for a game in general. Ubisoft just overpredicted, perhaps.
I think it does have a future.
Yeah.
But it's probably something that we will see on the next generation Switch hardware or next generation Nintendo hardware. But it wouldn't be anything that I would say, you know, we'll see like in the first year of its launch or anything. I think it's something that, look, it's a great, great franchise. It's a great game. Both games are really, really good. The second one didn't sell very well for, you know, different reasons. But I don't doubt the quality and the, you know, the level of excellence that game has as a franchise. I think that game could definitely come back in the right, you know, in the right setting and do really well all over again. So I don't think it's dead. Is it you know, been put on ice for the moment? Yeah, probably, let's be honest. But I think we'll see it at some point during the next generation.
Yeah, I mean, Ubisoft did express some remorse over not just holding it for a Switch successor, especially when Nintendo said just put one of these a generation. And they did see a significant sales dive, but it also comes down to the concept wasn't new. It wasn't fresh.
Right.
So you naturally see a little bit of regression when you have that type of sequel, especially an iterative sequel. We will likely get like a deluxe edition of Sparks of Hope on a Switch successor. Ubisoft already more or less alluded to that being a hope of theirs. As for another entry, maybe we get another one next gen. It'll be curious because it is a very intriguing franchise and Nintendo and Ubisoft had great success with the first one, but it may just be one of those situations where a game gets two, maybe three releases. And that's just a natural order of things before it's finally just put to bed. We'll find out. Hopefully not. It's still a lot of ways they can innovate. So hopefully it has a bright future ahead of itself, but the sequel underperforming definitely didn't do it any favors. Then had a dollar donation from Connor the Braxian. When will the next Pokemon Mystery Dungeon be announced? I love those games because they allow me to live out my fantasy. Well, it appears that there will be a Pokemon Presents in, I believe it's August 8th is the current rumor, so maybe there. And then we had a $1 donation from Blue Ink Blot. With Pikmin 4 finally launching, do you think it will get the Switch effect over or under 5 million copies? Thanks for all that you do.
What do you got on Pikmin 4? I don't know enough about the franchise to really answer this.
I mean, it launched exceptionally strong in Japan, over 400,000 retail copies sold. Pikmin 3 Deluxe did outsell Pikmin 3 on the Wii U, but, I mean, that was the Wii U. I believe it's already trending to become the best-selling Pikmin game. 5 million seems a little high.
Mm-hmm.
for me, at least in the immediate. I'm thinking 4.25 to 4.5 million for Pikmin 4, but it's really going to come down to word of mouth on the franchise or this specific release for the franchise. It had a huge marketing push in Japan. It was more or less treated as a premier AAA upper echelon Nintendo product in Japan. I'm going to be curious how the legs go for the duration of the summer on Pikmin 4, if this was a front-loaded release or if it's going to linger towards the holiday. I think that's going to be what we're going to have to observe, that tail.
Yeah.
North American sales, I imagine it's going to open fairly strong, but it could potentially fall quite quickly. It's going to be interesting, but I think 4 million is a lock, 5 million within play, but I think it would take it a little time to get there, maybe around this time next year, maybe a full year, if not a tad bit more to get to 5 million. But I think come Nintendo's earning report, let's say in June 2024, I think Pikmin 4 will be over 4 million by then. And that was the final Streamlabs question for this episode. If you'd like to support the channel again, we have a Streamlabs link in the description below. Donate any dollar amount, ask a question. We will answer it at the end of the episode. Donate $100 or more, and we will dedicate the episode to you. And today's episode, once again, was dedicated to Shamsa. And with that, I'd like to thank MVG for joining me, as always.
Always a pleasure, Knight. Thanks for having me on.
And if you'd like the episode, be sure to give the video a like. If you didn't, give it a dislike. Let us know your thoughts in the comment section below. When you think the Switch successor will come to market, will it have backwards compatibility? And whether or not you like the idea of it potentially having an LCD display, or if you would prefer an OLED, but potentially at a higher cost. And until next time, continue to embrace the hate.